you got a project dropping tonight, tomorrow, however that works.
Right.
Second Wind. I listened through it a couple times before we jumped on here.
What you think, man? Let the people know what you think.
Man, the project is fire.
Appreciate it, bro.
It's got a little bit of everything in it too. You know, from the beginning to end, it's almost like, oh, is this like a different artist? And like, I mean that in a great way, just because of how it changed. So I wanted to ask you, just kind of going through the research and listening, like, what led you to the Season of Life while you were doing this project? And then while you were making the project, or whether it was before or after, what made you say, oh, like, this is my second win?
Yeah. Man, I think this is like 10 years in the making.
Wow.
And I say that because, like, I've been doing it for a while. And, like, I guess you go through the entitlement stage. You go through the I'm supposed to be at a certain spot stage. And then you get to the stage where it's like, all right, God, like, you know, how am I going to continue to do this, and should I continue to do this?
Right.
So I think that's what led me to the place of like exhaustion, you know what I'm saying? And feeling like I've like exhausted a lot, put a lot of time, effort, money into what I was doing. And I was at the place in my life, literally as I'm, you know, working on music, didn't even have a name for the project. I was just like, man, I feel like quitting. And not like the cliche, oh man, almost get, like really didn't record, stopped recording, like, you know, just felt like super, just like, what am I doing? Like, why am I doing this? And I went on a fast and I was like, hey God, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, am I supposed to transition now? And I'll be honest, like a lot of it was comparing myself to others and, you know, trying to keep up with the new age of trying to go viral. You know, people make you like feel like if you don't go viral, then you're not really doing nothing. And I dealt with that a little bit. And that's the season I was in. And like I said, I went on a fast and I was like, God, man, if you want me to continue to do this, you know, you got to show me something. You can't just be, you know, little here and there's. So I went on it fast, and after I got off of it, I just felt like super refreshed, and the songs start flowing, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I was able to talk about it. Then, you know, he dropped the name on it, on me, Second Wind. And honestly, when I was making the album, I didn't feel like I had my second wind, but I felt refreshed. And I was just like, man, maybe that's, you know, the feeling. But then as soon as, like, I announced the album, Marvelous started going viral because I had dropped it like 3 months before. I knew it was going to be on the album, but it didn't really get as much traction as I did, as I thought it would. And it was a learning moment because, shout out Caleb Gordon. I was like, me and him was having a conversation and he was like, you got to drop this like this in order to get this. Right. So I did it and it got a lot of traction when I first dropped Marvelous, but it showed me, it's like, man, I can't do things how other people was doing them because with my fan base, if the song was out when it low key, like when I dropped the reel to it, but the song wasn't out yet, it would have got a lot more traction. So I was like, dang, I shouldn't have dropped it. I shouldn't have dropped the snippet until the song was actually out. So anyway, I dropped the album, like release date and the pre-orders and everything. Marvelous out of nowhere, just start going. The Chiefs just picked it up and it started going crazy.
That's crazy.
And then that's when I was just like, I felt like God was saying, like, now get ready. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the, and that was kind of like, in a way, I was like, wow. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't never know what God is up to. I don't know what he's doing. I just got to put the stuff out and be obedient in a sense. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I got to that spot. And that's where I'm at now. I'm like, I'm still like, all right, God, what else you finna do? Because the song is going like super crazy on TikTok. Like, I feel like,
and it's,
I feel like at this,
still going, it's sustaining,
bro. It's not stopping. Like, it's just too much to post. It's just like, all right, I'm not gonna post this every day. Like, ESPN used it like yesterday, uninterrupted use. I'm just like, this is crazy. It's not stopping like at all. which is crazy.
I wanted to point out like the irony of it, where it's just like you need your second win because you feel like, you know, you're slept on, or maybe you're not getting the recognition. You don't feel like that encouragement. But then, as you're going through that, a song goes viral and becomes the biggest song you ever did. And you said, "Oh, maybe I do know what I'm doing. Maybe,
right.
Maybe I'm wrong." Like, right. how does that, I guess, emotion that kind of like you're like, "Yeah, I'm trying to make that comeback," and then before you could even come back, that happens.
Right. I think it's like I posted the other day. I was just like, man, you got to get out of God's way and let him kind of do him. Because when it went viral, the first thing I thought was like, how do I make this even bigger than what it is? And God was just like, you're not the one who did it in the first place. Like, yeah, you put the song out, you did all that. But I still to this day don't know why the Chiefs chose that song. Because it wasn't viral. It wasn't, you know what I'm saying? It's something that they had to find. It wasn't like a sound that was trending. You know what I'm saying? So that's just in itself, just like, hey man, when God wants something to happen, when God's gonna breathe on something, he gonna do it. And that's the emotion that I had. It's just like, man, I gotta get out the way. I'm gonna do the work. I'm gonna be diligent.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be strategic. I'm gonna do all that. But like, I just gotta move, and you know what I'm saying, let God do his thing, which he's doing. He's going crazy right now.
Yeah, I see people asking in the chat, the album drops tonight, tomorrow, yeah. Friday, you know. Whatever.
So if you're on the West Coast, it's dropping in 2 hours. If you're on the East Coast, it drops at midnight.
Yeah. Which is 2 hours still. Yeah. Regardless, it's dropping in 2 hours somewhere.
Right. Right.
So, but besides like the virality of the song and all the streams, are there any opportunities that came out because of it that you could talk about? Like anything behind the scenes or people reaching out for things?
So people reached out, but it ain't nothing set in stone yet.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Nothing that's been like, all right, cool. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's people reaching out, but we'll see where it go. We'll see where it go.
Okay.
So it ain't nothing that I could just be like, yeah, this is for sure happening.
I got
you. But there is some interest. There is some people talking. So we'll see.
Dope. Yo, for everyone watching, if you got some questions, I want to take some questions at the end. So hang on to them. You have plenty of time to make them really good questions. all right. Many times when projects are like loaded with features, it kind of makes it feel like a collab album.
Instead of
your album, but I think your album actually does a good job of it still feeling yours and having a lot of people on it.
Right.
So tell me about the features on this project. Are there any dope stories about how it happened? You know, Absolutely. Sort of what?
Yeah, so honestly, everybody on the album, like, I don't do, if you go through my whole catalog, I don't do features just because people are dope or just because they're like popping at the time. Like Aaron Cole, like that's my dog. You know what I'm saying? Like Paris, that's my dog. Pastor Mike Jr., like before he was Pastor Mike Jr., like we was already chopping it up. You know what I'm saying? Scribe Sane. And even Mike Teezy, me and Mike Teezy been friends for like 8 or 9 years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when I ask somebody to hop on a song, it's like, because like, I think this fits you, like hop on. And it's like a, you know, it's like a mutual feeling. It's like, oh yeah, I'll hop on this. So that's what it was like. With Paris, a cool story is like, Paris was in, he was in Sacramento, and me and him was just like hooping and stuff like that. And, you know, he came to the studio, and like, you know, as artists get together, they always gonna play each other tracks. So I necessarily didn't even ask Paris to hop on. He was just like, hey, bro, I want to hop on this one. So okay. I was listening to it. I was like, oh, for real? I was like, I ain't going to say no. Of course you got up on it. And it was the only feature other than Jerron that was actually recorded in the studio right here. Because Paris lives in Oklahoma, yeah. So when West Coast. So it's rare that we're together. So that was cool. I thought that was dope. And then he recorded bits and pieces of his album that's dropping in the studio too. So that was dope. Like, so a little bit of AOY and a whim.
Did you
is a
have to clear a space for him on the song, or like
No, so
song done, or like how did that
oh,
work?
actually, I took off my second verse because he wanted to hop on it. I took off the second verse. It was crazy because I didn't like the second verse anyway. I felt like he kind of just mellowed out. And
Okay.
then if he wouldn't have hopped on it, I probably wouldn't have put the song on the album because I did like the song. I liked it, but it wasn't, I was like, ah, it's kind of mellowing out. And then, so I took my second verse off and then he threw his on and killed it. Like he brung that Paris sauce that he always brings. You know what I'm saying?
So you could drop the rare remix where it's like the remix actually features yourself.
Fact. Mission featuring mission and
Featuring me again.
right. Me again and again and again.
And what else? You have a couple of others. So you said
Yeah.
you had Cole, you have.
Yeah. So Aaron Cole, like, oh, so it took him the longest to do his because actually on the song which he's on, it's called Testimony, I was actually singing the first part of it, like kind of rap singing it, and then he told me I sounded flat. So he kind of got on me. He was like, "Hey, bro, you sound flat." Like he kind of kept it a buck. So I had him re-sing it, and then at first he didn't want to do it. So I'm excited to see what people say about it because he didn't want to do the first part. So I'm excited to see what people say about it. And as far as Pastor Mike Jr. Cole, but no, those Pastor Mike Jr. now that I'm thinking of it. He took the longest just because he's so busy. But he actually sent his in. We got it. We was ready to go. And he was like, nah, bro, I can do it better. So
Nice.
that's nice, but it took him another month to get it. So I was thinking he was just going like, all right, I'm gonna do it right now since you know, but nah. It took him a while to get it. But I appreciated the fact that like he cared about the record so much to where he wanted to put his best out. And a person of his caliber, you know what I'm saying? He doing me a favor. You know what I'm saying? And that's more like a one-sided type of thing. But he liked the record so much and he was like, nah, bro, I can do something better. And like he really gave me 100%. That's another thing I respect about people who hop on my tracks is because that lets me know that I'm respected because like I tweeted it like a while back. I was like, I've never got a weak verse from someone, and that's a compliment. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people give throwaway
They just
verses.
mail it in.
They just mail it in. But when they hop on a mission track, man, it's like people be rapping or they singing their butt off. I'm like, man, I was talking about Scooty Wap. He hopped on my last album and like he murdered me. I ain't gonna even cap. Like he murdered me. He murdered me on that album. So, but I kept it. So I was like, nah, you did too good. Some people would have took his verse off because he went stupid.
Yeah, I've heard those stories.
Oh
In the chat, someone's saying, talk about the producers.
man. Right before I do that, Mike Teezy,
Oh,
once
right.
again, like he got me his verse back same day. He loved the song. Like he went stupid. And there's Jerron is a new up and coming artist who's on there. Great singer. Y'all know Scribe. Scribe killed it. Scribe got his own track. It's really an interlude and it's just Scribe. You know what I'm saying? So I'm hoping that, you know, people really rock with that. It's super dope. But as far as the producers, it's KAG and Mac Bizzy. They produced the entire album. They're all LYN01 producers. You know KAG from back in the day, RPSMG?
Not sure, maybe
Yeah,
not.
so he's been with me since pretty much I started. When I say like coldest probably in the game, if he wouldn't have like took so many hiatuses. but like the dude is super talented. And then Mac Bizzy is up and coming producer with LYN01 and like he 2022. I mean, dude is just a beast. So they did the whole entire album, and then Just Johnny, he produced a track on there, but he's been doing a lot of like visuals and stuff for me. So as far as like the Marvelous video, he shot that. What up, TZ? And then also the Mark Stevens has been doing a lot of my like reels and stuff like that. He's been going crazy.
Stevie, Mark, he was in here.
Yeah, Stevie. Stevie, man, he's a guy, man. He do it all. He can rap. He stopped rapping though.
I know. We named him, and he was like,
all right, y'all, that was enough.
Come on, Mark. It's funny. I have a question regarding Mark a little late, but you were talking about someone taking a break. Yeah. So I read, you know, nearly like 10 years ago, you took a sabbatical from music too.
Yeah.
You know, music and ministry to sort of get yourself right. So during that time away, was there somebody within CHH or even maybe when you came back that kind of took you under their wing and mentored you as an artist to kind of where you need to be?
I wouldn't say like that. That was a situation from my mentor, who's a pastor, but somebody who's like, who like recently like been a mentor and like all, and they, so, okay. So we got Dre Murray, who's always been there. You know, I can call him, talk to him.
Legend.
Anytime. And like, man, he'll still talk to this day. We don't talk as much, but like super, like always giving guidance. And then another one is Pastor 83. Like, I can call him anytime and we talk. But during that season, it was more of my pastor, which is Pastor Damien. And, you know, he was helping me through situation I was going through at the time when I ended up getting a divorce and things like that. He was like on my, like, he was like, because at that point in time, I was so focused on trying to be the biggest Christian hip hop artist in the land, you know what I'm saying, that I ended up neglecting the family and, you know, obviously dropping the ball. She was out of pocket too. She did some crazy stuff.
I saw that video that you did. I did not know any of this.
Yeah, it was crazy. It got ugly, man. It's a real unbelievable story. But you know, at that time, I didn't care about nothing but being the dopest artist, and I wanted to do it in Jesus' name. And you know, that wasn't right, and I had to like really sit down and reevaluate why I'm doing what I'm doing. And, you know, like, how can I be trying to be a leader, but I can't leave my own home? You know what I'm saying? So it was like a lot of stuff like that I had to like just really reevaluate and like get back in alignment with God. And I'm glad I did. That was the, you know, I think once I did that, when I came back, I, you know, ended up with RPSMG. We did a lot of great things. So that was like the, you know, the start of, you know, me trending up, if you will.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Starting getting the recognition.
That's super important, because a lot of people, especially within the CHH industry or even ministry in general, they think that, you know, they're doing something for God or they're doing something, but meanwhile, you know, their home life is a wreck.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And they're kind of separating with like, oh, God is more important, so I can neglect my family. And it's like, yes, but no. You should be able to like figure it out and do that together. So I think it's awesome that, you know, not the whole situation that you went through, obviously awesome, but the fact that there was like a recognition that like this needs to happen and I need to figure it out, and then you guys got back together. And
I think that's the importance of, you know, like even now, like a lot of, and not sounding like the old guy, but there's a lot of like younger artists who don't necessarily reverence or give homage to the people that came before them as mentors, as people to take them under their wing, to take them under their wing. And I think for me, like even now, like I'm 34 and I still have people that can speak into my life and tell me when I'm wrong and all of that type of stuff. And I think it's so important. I think that saved my life in a sense, because I was headed down the wrong path. And sometimes when we think wrong path, we think, oh, you're selling drugs or doing drugs or killing people or something like that, or in a gang, or, but headed down the wrong path also can be, you know, not leading your family the correct way, not listening to God, or you're staying in whatever it is that you're doing wrong for way too long. That's heading down the wrong path as well. And although I was in church and I knew God, I was headed down the wrong path because I wasn't leading my family right. I wasn't being a good husband. I wasn't being a good father because I was putting the ministry before, before my family. And, you know, that's just, you know, that's not right.
Yes. Someone in the chat said, you know, the young artists need mentorship too.
Absolutely.
Yes. A lot of them, like, in a different way too, because a lot of young artists, they don't have families, they don't have kids, so they need mentorship in a different way. Yeah. Like, they might relate to somebody, they'd be like, oh, I have all the time in the world to be the greatest artist on the earth,
right? So,
all that, but there's, you know, the pros and cons and you know, all the stuff that comes with that.
100%
when it's just your solo,
right?
Fall into different traps. So yeah. it's a long conversation.
It's dangerous out here, man.
Everyone
being single, what'd you say?
Everyone needs a mentor. Of
absolutely. Some absolutely.
Way.
Yeah. It gets dangerous.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you, because I know Mark Stevens had told me when he was coming up that you were sort of instrumental in his path of becoming an artist. So are there any artists that are coming up like kind of how Mark did under your guidance, or do you have anyone that you're like looking after?
Right now it's Mac Busy. He's not an artist, he's a producer.
Okay.
And he's like, man, when I say the kid is super talented, he got an old soul, like he can go hip hop, he can go, you know, a lot of ways. And like, he's like really, really dope. And I'm not just saying that because I'm working with him, but like, he's really dope. And I think on this album, it'll show his versatility. It'll show like how dope he is. But he's somebody that he came to me and he was like, hey man, like, I don't want to produce for secular artists anymore. And it's a funny story because I was with Mark Stevens when I first met him. We did a show at a church and he let us hear some of his beats. But the way that he came off to us, he was a little like arrogant a little bit. And then, so I was like, all right, man, let me hear what you got. You know what I'm saying? And it wasn't good at all. And I was just like, bro, you kind of super cocky. In my head, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, you super cocky to not be that dope right now. I knew he had potential,
yeah.
But I think like maybe a year or two went by, and DJ Miko, shout out Miko, he once I first opened the studio, he was like, man, I got this kid that I want to bring by. I want you to hear his stuff, and I think y'all work good together. Sure enough, coming in the room is Mac, and I'm just looking at him like, why does this kid look so familiar? Why does he look so familiar? And he started playing me some of his beats. Some of them were good, some of them weren't that good. And I was like, man, I actually can work with him. So I was like, man, where do I know you from? He's like, bro, you met me. And he told me the whole, and I was like, oh, that was you. And then I was like, bro, you weren't good back then. I was like, I'm glad you stayed at it. So we started working, and then, you know, the rest is history. But he's somebody I'm definitely taking under my wing. And I did get kind of burnt out on artists. Just being totally honest, me and Mark's relationship didn't end, but the way when he stopped doing music, I was a little upset, only because I knew how dope he was. He just made Freshman. He was like, he was on a climb, but he made a decision that he had to make for his family, right? You know, financially and stuff like that. So it wasn't like a fallout in the sense of like, oh bro, it was just more like, dang bro, you gonna quit now, or you gonna stop now? And so when, after Mark was kind of done, I was like kind of done with artists, but I am like hoping, you know, with Mac and Kenny, that we can get some artists and really, you know, take some younger artists and like really help produce them, yeah. And you know, get them to that point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, at least Mark's staying creative though.
He's doing exactly it. Exactly. So when he picked up the camera, I was like, man, I knew he was gonna be dope, because like, I feel like anything Mark touched be turned into gold. Like, even with like the songs that he was doing, he would be like, I would be in the studio for hours, and he'd come in 20 minutes, do some song real quick, and it sound dope. I'm like, man, how you doing that? And then just out of nowhere, he picked up that camera, man, and started going crazy. Man, you start going crazy.
It's so dope to be that talented when you could just do something completely different. Be like, oh yeah, I'm really good at this too.
Right. Like, and AJ in the chat, shout out AJ. He just brought something else to my remembrance. I am mentoring other younger artists. It's more through my foundation, All You Know to Me Foundation. Okay. And when I built the studio, it was for helping kids in the community who wouldn't be able to afford studio time and stuff like that. So there are some younger kids that we are working with, BHM Mikey, Tricky Mac, Lano, Trey, all super dope, super talented kids who we let come in the studio. They work for free. They're not necessarily Christian artists. They're not Christian artists at all, actually. But we challenge them. We're able to mentor them. I'm building rapport with them and things like that. So that's in that space, I'm definitely doing that. But as far as who I have on the label right now is just Kenny and Mac, and they're just producers. And then Johnny does, he does his own thing. Johnny does what he wants.
All right, let's see. I got two questions.
Oh, exactly. Mark.
Question, the question thing, and there's no questions there. So if anyone's got the questions, drop them again, or just drop them in here. Oh, someone said, who is Mark? Mark Stevens.
Mark Stevens is he used to be an artist under All You Know to Me. Super fire artist, Rapzilla Freshman, 2019 or
2020.
Okay. Big stacks. Hey, DM me. You got to tap. DM me. DM me. I'll hit you back.
Who are the people that ask questions? Maybe the questions are gone because those people actually left the chat.
Okay.
Oh, we got one. Let's see. No, I keep pressing, but it keeps popping up, and then I press it, and there's no questions. Drop them. Just drop them in the
chat. Use
the question button because it's not happening. I think someone keeps requesting to go live too.
Okay. Future of ALY and OM. The future of ALY and OM is eventually I do want to sign. I do want to sign more artists. I'm trying to figure out the best way to do that though, because that's crazy. Somebody asked. I do plan to sign more artists. I'm trying to figure out the best way to do it to where it makes sense for me. Because I put a lot of time into artists, and then just out of nowhere, they kind of just stopped doing it. Even with Elijah Duran, he's a DJ now. Chris Ruiz had a buzz, and then he just out of nowhere dropped off the face of the earth. Who else? Yeah. So with artists, I'm I don't know. God got to bring somebody to me that he won't be worried. So that's going to be difficult.
I know.
But I do plan to.
I know you saw that Brandon P question.
What they say?
You got a project.
Any future plans? No. So just to be totally honest, no. I think that's Brandon's course for sure. I think when people hear that album, I'll explain that more. But it's ran its course. It's like, it's just a thing where, we just kind of went our separate ways, to be totally honest with you. Went our separate ways, wishing the best. But in this season of my life, it's going to be AOY and OM, everything. So Barely Finished 3 was supposed to drop. It just didn't happen. We couldn't get it to happen, unfortunately. But there won't be any more projects with Brandon P.
I flip houses and rap. I need more exposure. Yo, if you could figure out how to be rap while you're flipping houses on TikTok, you won't need anybody's help.
Exactly. You'll be good. That's a great. He just gave you a gem.
Figure it out. While you're busting down a wall,
man,
film you rapping through the wall. Come on.
Yeah. You'll take off quick.
All right. Any other questions?
You dropping on my birthday. Yeah, I see. You got to check it out. Yes, please check it out. Happy birthday to you.
Talking about
crazy.
Talk about your pod.
Yeah, so me and my wife have a podcast. It's called Kicking with the Smiths. I think the last episode we dropped, I may have gotten a little bit of trouble. So we was talking about some crazy stuff.
Trouble with who? Your wife or people?
People and, you know, my mentor, he kind of, he didn't get at me, but he got at me. It was edgy. I knew it was going to be edgy once we posted it. But it's called Kicking It with the Smiths, and it's really me and my wife. We're talking about parenting, relationships, friendships, all the ships. And, like, we do it from our perspective because me and my wife, like, we super, like, us. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't try to pretend because we've done that. Like, we've looked at people's relationships and how people parent and all that type of stuff. And then to a fault, we like try to mimic, you know what I'm saying? And we've tried to be like, but it's just like, nah, that's not us. So a lot of stuff that we do and how we act towards each other, people be like, man, how do y'all, I'm like, that just works for us.
Yeah.
So on our podcast, you know, people actually love it because they can see how authentic it is. They can see that like, oh no, they really just being them. Like, you know, they really just, like Pastor 83, he said, we'd be on there just arguing, hashing it out. and a lot of times we are, because like there was an episode where we were talking about money and finances. And like my wife kind of busted me out and just like, because I was trying to call her out for having secret money. But then she made me realize that my PayPal money is the same thing. And I didn't, I realized it on air, like while we're shooting. And I'm just like, oh, wow, that kind of is. So I just got busted out, you know, right in front of everybody.
The last thing we need is another edgy relationship podcast by the last name of Smiths.
Right.
Data and Will.
Now, my gosh.
Have yours.
Oh, yeah, no. We ain't like that.
Bring us out. Bring us out. Give us a new family to, like, look up to.
Right, because that ain't the one. J. Cole, he was at a concert. And you know that line, I need that real love. They said he muted it.
He like held the... I'm not saying that.
Yeah, that ain't the way.
All right, A1 Smith 7, why do you think you've had such longevity in the game, the infamous game?
That's a good question. I don't know why, but I just know I don't quit easy. Like, it's hard for me to just give up on something. And especially something like, you know, music, which I love. And this is my career. I've been full time for about 5-6 years. You know what I'm saying? So it's not as easy as just like, you know, it's like almost like walking off the job. But I also think I have a lot to offer and I have a lot to say. And I think I would be doing myself and others a disjustice. And I don't say that in a way like, hey, everybody needs to listen to Mission. But what I'm saying is like somebody, and I actually got another YouTube comment the other day, and they was just like, man, you got me through my prison sentence. Dude was like, he said, bro, I did a 10-year prison sentence and your music got me through it. He said, when I found your music got me through like the last stretch of it. I don't know however long it was. So when he said that, I'm just like, dang. Like, that's not viral, but that, I like, the words that I'm saying, and the music, you know what I'm saying? It means something to somebody, you know what I'm saying? And I got way more than one fan, like, you know what I'm saying? But
that's the stories when they're like, yo, even if I could just touch, you know, one fan, it's like, yo, that's your one, that's at least.
One.
That's the one.
And I was just like, and somebody else was like, man, I'm getting out soon. Just want you to know that, like, keep going. Like, I be listening to your stuff all the time. And it's, like, therapeutic for him. I'm like, what the heck? And I'm just like, man. And that's another. So that's the reason why I keep going. But it's just like, man, I got to continue to put out the music and, you know, how I do it. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, people are listening and it's giving people hope, you know what I'm saying, through my struggles. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm talking about. I'm just talking about, you know, what I go through and, you know, it relates to other people. Because I'll never want to just come across as if, like, I'm trying to tell people what to do or how to do it. I'm just like, hey, this is my experience. This didn't work for me. Maybe it won't work for you, but, you know, figure it out. But I think just that and just not quitting. And I'm consistent. Like, I'm consistent. Like, I drop music all the time. I'm like, I just stay at it, man. Stay in the studio. Stay trying to, you know, make new sounds and stuff like that. So that and, you know, and prayer and, you know, just continuing to be obedient and listening to God. Like, God, hey, am I supposed to stop now? Am I supposed to, you know, I'm getting a little cool? Okay, cool. I'm gonna put this out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Someone asked how you came up with the title. Just listen back to the interview. I'll save this interview. Just listen back to the beginning. Mission talks all about how he came up with the name. Somebody asked about a tour. Are you going to be touring this album?
Tours are so hard. Like, before the pandemic, like, I did a tour, and it was, the first one we did was like a tragedy. It was tragedy. Like, nobody was showing up. The second we did, a little more people showed up. Then the pandemic happened, and they were so much work. I was just like, man, I'm exhausted from touring. And then I did the tour. I was on Mike Teezy's tour, and I seen like how he had success in some areas of success and then didn't have success in areas. And like, I'm just on the tour, so I seen all the work that he was putting in, and I was just like, man.
Besides being an artist,
huh?
It's a whole nother job besides being
an artist. Yes, and Teezy was coming out the pocket and, you know, all that type of stuff. He was, you know, he did a good job at it, but like, I'm with him every day, so I see how it's stressful and all that. And, you know, I just don't think I'm at a place to where I can pull up to a city and, you know, depending on the city, to where like, really the sweet spot is if you can get like 75 to 100 people to come in every city, like, that's successful in my eyes. I don't think I'm at the spot yet to where I can go to any city and get 75 to 100 people to show up. Paid tickets, not just, you know. So to answer the question, no, but I am going to do like a concert series to where I can do something more strategic to where it's more one-off concerts and we can promote it and then try to get that number of people in select cities.
Hey, Marvelous keeps popping, right? You might be performing that at a halftime show or something.
Man, so. I was at rehearsal. I got a show this weekend with my TZ Portia Love this weekend, right? And while I was rehearsing the song, I kept saying BET, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Or I kept saying different names. So man, I'm like, hey, you never know, man. We might be on a halftime show. We might be at BET Awards, Stellar Awards, Dove Awards, something. I'm calling it out.
I mean, why not? And then once you get one of those, then we can revisit that tour question,
exactly.
I'm sure.
Exactly.
Somebody asked about your dream collaboration.
My dream collaboration? Dang. Well, if we're talking CHH, it would be Andy Mineo.
It's a good one.
He's a fire, bro. Like, I was having this conversation and I was just like, the dude is just dope. So that's a dream. And if we go secular, it will probably be Kanye. I mean, I guess Kanye, Chris. I don't know what Kanye is right now.
if anybody Kanye right now, that would probably be a dream for somebody.
Right. So definitely Kanye, because Kanye, I realized that Kanye is the greatest artist of all time, as far as like hip hop and all that type of stuff. So Kanye is my GOAT. So definitely Kanye.
Okay. You were ready to maybe start a fight with Kanye if there was more people in this chat.
I don't know what he is right now, man. Kanye, man. I don't know if he's a Muslim, Christian. I don't know what Kanye is. Hopefully he's Christian still.
We don't even know if he's on this planet right now.
Man.
Anyone in the chat got a final question? Something to take us out. Curtis Hoppy, I'll take one. I mean, who wouldn't? I'll take one Kanye West verse, please.
Facts. For 200, Alex.
Yeah, for 200 thousand, man. Maybe.
Yeah.
First. Let's see. If we're not in it to glorify ourselves to Christ, can we still call it CHH?
If we're not in it to glorify Christ?
If we're not in it to glorify, bring souls to Christ, can we still call it CHH?
All right, so let me answer this the best way.
That's a big question.
Yeah, so, all right. This is just, here's how I feel about it. If you're not, like, that's a difficult question because I guess it just depends on who you ask. Obviously, I would say no. But I also think the short answer is no, right? If you call yourself a Christian, period, let's forget rapper, right? If you call yourself a Christian, your job is to spread the gospel and win souls, spread the good news, win souls to Christ. That is your job. Now, if we're talking Christian rap, then your music should be to spread the good news and win souls to Christ. But I also don't think that you have to necessarily, every song has to be about winning souls to Christ. I just don't agree because I just don't think, because I have a lot of songs that's just talking about my struggles in my life and that, you know, people can resonate, you know, and they can relate to that. I just believe that I'm not going to get everybody saved. I believe that I can plant a seed and maybe somebody else water it, and then somebody else come and water it some more, and then 5 years down the line, they may get saved, right? So a lot of my songs are seeds, you know what I'm saying? And that might spark the interest, like, man, he got through this by, who's this Jesus guy he's talking about? That may send them on a rabbit hole of looking up things, you know what I'm saying? But I necessarily didn't get them saved. So I don't approach my music with, hey, I'm finna get someone saved with this song. You know what I'm saying? I use my platform. Like I just felt God was telling me to do an altar call on my platform on Instagram. And I pinned it. And somebody was just like, people are gonna get saved from this and you won't even know, right? So I look at my music like that as well. It's just like, hey man, like somebody could get saved from this, somebody couldn't, but I'm planting the seed. And I think artists should, like, even with like a lot of the music right now, a lot of people is like super Bible heavy, super demon killing heavy. And I'm not mad at it. I think it's dope. I think what people do is dope. But I get irritated when people feel like that's the only way to do it because that's what's popping right now. You know what I'm saying? Or like when you think of how a KMF or like a Hog Mob or, you know what I'm saying, like how their method is different than how I would ever rap a song.
Yeah.
But I don't discredit it because they have a fan base. They have people who if you ask them right now, Brian Trejo is the greatest rapper in the world and they say saved his life. You know what I'm saying? But that doesn't mean that that's the only way because like I said earlier, somebody, hey man, you got me through my prison sins. But yeah. My music sounds nothing like Brian Trejo's. You know what I'm saying? So I think we gotta, there's more than one way to do it. Just different, same message, different methods.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing too. Like, one song is not gonna work for someone else, but maybe I say this not disrespectfully, but maybe like the dumbest or one of the worst songs to come out in CHH might hit that one person that we spoke about before, and that changed their life.
Exactly.
They all you want and plan on that song, how terrible it is or how it doesn't glorify or whatever, but it still got somebody.
And exactly.
At the end of the day, you're on the same team. So I don't know. So I think you just have to work within your calling, right? You just have to work. Right. And if you're seeing fruit from it, awesome. Keep going.
Exactly.
It will deter you.
So I don't understand when people say Christian hip hop isn't of God. It's just like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, I'm like, how? Like, how do you explain people getting saved? How do you explain people are giving their life? How do you explain? There's several people
Yeah.
that say, hey, man, I found God through Christian hip hop. Like, So how can you say it's not of God? How can you say it? It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't.
And we'll keep this discussion will keep happening for like the next 40 years of about 50 years of hip hop. Anyway.
Facts.
All right. So here's my final question, and I'll let you go because, you know, it's getting real late for me, and you got an album dropping soon. So, what do you hope that Second Win does for people, and why should the average everyday person listen to that album?
Yeah, I hope that this album encourages not only the body but everyday people. And I don't say that in a way of like, hey, yeah, so I can, because the premises of the album is like, hey, yes, you've been doing something for a very long time. And yes, you probably didn't get the credit you deserved. You probably didn't get the accolades. You probably didn't get the raise at your job. You probably didn't. But it's also like, hey, don't get weary in well doing. What you're doing, that doesn't mean what you're doing is in vain. And it doesn't mean what you're doing is not good. Just for whatever reason, you're just taking a different path. And when I think about the body, when I think about how we've been like at it for years in Christian hip hop, and when people preaching and they're saying Jesus is coming back, or they're saying, hey, I'm going to get my breakthrough one day, or hey, this, that, and the other. And after so many years of saying that, it gets to the point where it's like, man, is this really going to happen? And, you know, other things start to take, we start to lean towards other things. And like, well, this isn't working, so let me do. So it's just like, man, I hope the body knows. I hope that people knows, like, your work isn't in vain. Don't get weary in well doing. And if you lean on God in these times, he can give you that breath that you need to continue to keep going. You know what I'm saying? And I think just for me, as I'm speaking to myself, like if I would have never put out the album, if I'd have just gave up, Marvelous wouldn't have had the chance to do what it's doing. You know what I'm saying? The person in jail maybe wouldn't have found the music and, you know,
right,
helped them get through their sentence. So it's bigger. I want people to know that. Is bigger than them. It's not just about, you know, you getting your life together, because your life is helping someone else's. You know what I'm saying? What you're going through, your testimony, your, you know, your breakthrough is hope and encouragement for somebody else. So that's ultimately what I hope people get out of it. What was the other question too?
It was just why should you listen? But that kind of all.
Yeah. That's because it's fire, man.
And it's good.
And it's good. Like it's really, and I'm not like, we put a lot of time and effort into making sure that the sound is good, the quality, the, you know, all of that type of stuff. And I just, you know, it's really good music. Like, you know, you can dance, you can, you know, you can cry, you can think. You know what I'm saying? You can have fun. The album got everything.